This is Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy. Thanks to Bluebet, the true blue Aussie bookie. Gamble responsibly.
Power outages and sling tackles. Plenty of news from round two for Damo to talk about.
Wrapping up the weekend of footy.
Get Purple in here and discuss footy.
This is Damo's recovery session.
There's a bit to discuss, Purple.
Where do you want to start?
A bit going on.
Positive. Yeah.
I don't think there's a sane person involved in the game who would have said that North Melbourne and the St Kilda Football Club would be 2-0.
And throw Essendon in that conversation too.
Essendon as well.
Yep. Yeah. And on the same parameter, you've then got teams like Geelong
and the Dogs not able
to win a game at this point in time.
And Freo.
And Freo as well.
Yeah. All three of them in the finals last year, and of course Geelong winning it. Yep. It's been a weird-ass start to the year. So the positives, where do you want to start?
Well, I think it's natural to start with the five teams that have had the two wins. Collingwood, Sydney, North, St Kilda, Essendon. We'll get through those. And then you need to add two more to that list of unbeaten teams, because Collingwood, Richmond, obviously in the very first game of the year, drew. So they're still unbeaten. Richmond, Carlton. Bill, thank you. Yes. Yep. So there's seven teams who are yet to lose. Collingwood, and you called the game on the weekend, Jim, and they're just playing just beautiful football.
Yeah, it is.
Historically
it is superb.
Beautiful football.
Good to watch. Yep. Currently outright favourite to win the flag.
Are they?
And should be.
$5.50. Yep. And also Nick Daicos is now the equal favourite to win the Brownlow at $11 with Clayton Oliver. Yeah.
Wow.
And LDU's come into $18, yep. Jim, from $80.
Yeah, he would have six votes to this point. We'll get to him in a minute. But Collingwood are superb. I said this on the day. It's hard for all of us to say it who aren't like Rabs and rabid Collingwood. We've all been, tuned over the years to, detest the bloody joint. But there's nothing you can do but admire what they're doing at the moment. They are superb.
It crept in last year, didn't it, that facet? Yep. The general and genuine love of the outsider. And I think we all thought normal transmission would resume in 2023. Yes. And yet I think the love's elevated.
I agree.
And it is just on the back of this preparedness to just take the game on at every stage.
Comes from the coach.
Yep. It absolutely does, Bill. Yeah. And just this mantra of trying to be fun. So love what they did too in the offseason. They're never going to get a lot of goals and a lot of stats out of Dan McStay, but they knew what they were going to get, and we're starting to see it, aren't they? That workman-like footballer in the forward.
Something a bit different.
Yeah.
And Darcy Cameron's the other one.
Darcy Cameron stood right up. And
they got him for nothing, didn't they?
It was cheapish.
Cheapish, from the Swans. Yeah,
cheapish. So they traded, or they got him, but it was on the lower end. And Tom Mitchell, again, not a lot of stats yet, but the three goals he's kicked over the two games, that's what they need to do, and the clearance work that he's doing, so elevated. Sydney, don't know what they've done yet, because they beat, obviously, bashed up Hawthorne on the weekend, having done a similar job on Gold Coast the week before. They're not teams you're going to expect.
They've got Melbourne this weekend.
They've got Melbourne this weekend.
So there's a test for them. Melbourne will bounce back.
That will be the one in this week. So liked what they did too. I mean, Buddy couldn't play because of the suspension. Mm. And then obviously Amati comes in, kicks five, gets subbed out at three-quarter time. And Logan McDonald, who's still a work in progress, only into his third season, just small, low 20s games to his name. But good for him to kick the four goals.
Oh, absolutely.
Yep. Right. And you've always been a fan.
I like him. I've heard great things about him. Yep.
We touched on St Kilda as well. And the forced rejigging of that entire team, but particularly the forward line, it's just worked a treat, hasn't it? To the point where a Mitch Owens can, in a short time in the game, become a key player. But Tyus Philippou, same thing, having impact on the scoreboard. Wasn't part of the planning even a month ago for these guys to be the stars in that team. So what they did on the weekend was, obviously in keeping with where they're at.
How important is a good coach? Crusty old coaches like Ross Lyon, Clarko, even Wayne Bennett up there.
Oh, absolutely.
Mate, they just bring something to the club. Now, and
they bring a system, don't they, Bill?
Yeah, they do. They even bring culture, which is very hard to determine what culture is, but they bring something with them.
Yep.
And Clarko's done it, and so has Ross Lyon there.
Yep.
Even the young boy from North, the Geelong boy, what's his name, left footer, was good in the practice game for the Saints.
Mason Wood.
Yeah. Blokes like that, they're playing really, really good team footy.
It's brilliant they're back in the fold, I think. Because in a day gone by, once coaches had been spat out of the system, that was the end.
Yeah.
I just think it's superb that they're both back coaching and are doing a brilliant job.
Well, Jim, and again, you I think for quite some time have been pumping up Luke Davies-Uniacke, who Bill said is now into the second or third line of betting on the Brownlow.
$18 from 80.
You talk about Dacos potentially having six Brownlow medal votes after two games. I think he would too, wouldn't he?
No doubt. No, yeah. He's a star. He's what they call in the north of England purple, different gravy. He does stuff that most people can't do. He literally has got that explosive exiting out of stoppages. It's Chris Judd-like. He's not as good as the great man, but those are the qualities he has. Mm. He's a ripper. Good kid too.
And again, we've all had a view now on what happened in that last moment. I still feel, despite the AFL signing off on it, that it would have felt right for a free kick to be paid to Fremantle when the ball crossed the line. But at the same time, it wasn't the reason they lost.
I reckon the ball was over, by the way.
Explain. Well, it's interesting. I read the West today too, and then no more parochial place in the world than Western Australia.
Yeah.
And two journos, senior journos for that, both said the right decision was made. And I went, wow. Yeah. That's interesting.
That is unusual.
Has the rule changed? Because I always thought the game was over when the officiating umpires heard the siren.
Yeah.
So it's not actually when the siren sounds, it's when they hear it. So is that still the case?
Well, the infamous St Kilda Fremantle game in Tassie effectively changed that, didn't it? Because that was decided in the AFL commission room post the event based upon when the actual siren went, not when the umpire heard it.
Because they hadn't heard it.
They hadn't heard it at all.
That had to go a second time.
Yeah.
But normally, it's once the on-field umpire hears the siren and then the game's dead.
Yep. Yeah. That was my understanding. Yeah. But I think the rule that they wanted us to absorb in the media was that the ball was effectively dead in that moment when the siren was sounded and heard, and the umpire did hear it straight away effectively.
So if I'm running into open goal and I have a shot on goal and the siren goes, it can still roll through for a goal.
For a score, it's different again.
If the kick's away.
But that's a different rule there to the boundary, isn't it?
But as we do know, and again, I listen to the AFL, and I agree that if they've signed off on it, that's what they ultimately and honestly believe to have happened. But they do have a lot of rules that can work in either situation. I reckon if they had paid the free kick, the rules would have allowed them to have said that was the right call.
It was touch and go.
It was really touch and go, And not the reason that Fremantle lost.
No.
Just on Essendon too, we talk about rejigged forward lines. I mean, I don't have access to Jake Stringer. Peter Wright's out, obviously. Wiedemann pulled out late. And even Tipping Woody, who played last week, was not available this week. And they get a guy like Langford stepping up, Bill, and kicking a five without any great forward craft in his
repertoire. But look at all the pressure indicators now and where Essendon sit on all of them. I think they're in the top four in all the ones that matter.
That wouldn't surprise you, would it, with the coach?
Because that's what Brad Scott has brought. So he's, Clarko and It is so brilliant to see them all back coaching, and you can see straight away the stamp those three have put on their teams. And I watched a bit of that game, not much of it, and it looked like a Brad Scott coach team.
Yep.
They're hard to score against, hard to move the footy against, a lot of pressure around the ball, all the things that he has been his brand forever, and he will be a superb coach for Essendon.
And the other mob were right too.
Yeah, they weren't the worst.
They're okay. So good.
But again, they don't ever surprise you with a win, do they, that mob? We're talking about Gold Coast Bill.
Coast,
They just, to me, have had a history of teasing, and this is the year they were meant to actually do a bit more than that. And okay, it's only two rounds in, but you look at the ladder and they're 0-2. And yesterday they had a chance at three-quarter time, scores were level, and they were the team that broke early in that last quarter.
We got this. When is it? Saturday? Sunday?
Saturday.
Geelong, Gold Coast.
Yeah.
Both 0-2.
Yeah.
That'll be up there too.
Up there.
And they're hard to beat up there in the early rounds.
Some good rounds, games.
Well, what about this one, Jim, on Saturday? Hawthorn versus North Melbourne, Launceston.
Yep.
Of course, Hawthorn taking on Clarko.
Mm-hmm.
Hawthorn are $2.63. North are $1.49 favourite.
$1.49.
North are. Right. And that's an interesting game.
It is.
There.
No,
it'll be a bit of spice
in
that.
It's a tighter game than that, no doubt, that betting line.
But there's spice.
Or, no, I think.
Indian
grudge.
Spice.
Grudge match.
Right, well, more on the negative side of things next.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Do you know someone dopier than Jim?
Damien Barrett has stuck around, JB. His negatives from round two of AFL action.
By the way, that funding was $2 billion.
Billion.
The negatives, where are we starting there?
I got one.
I've got a toss of the coin.
I got one. Yeah. Why did Jason Horne-Francis get booed? It wasn't a big boo, I don't think.
I was loud enough, wasn't it, Jim?
I couldn't work it out. Yeah. I said on air, what is this for? He didn't leave Collingwood.
No.
I don't understand what
exactly.
It's weird.
I've stopped for some years trying to get inside the heads of Collingwood support. So I don't know why they would be doing that, but there's no obvious reason, is there, that they would be doing it?
There was nothing in the game,
no.
So I don't know.
And
I mean, at one stage, he and Taylor Adams, you know, just grabbed each other. But that's no different than any
other.
But
that's a badge of honour to have Taylor Adams go, isn't it?
So, no, yeah. Exactly right. Yeah. No, I couldn't work it out. It was weird.
I mean, I can understand if North, but I hate booing, and we've discussed this regularly over the years. I hate booing, but I can imagine if North supporters do, and that's all part of the theatre. But now I think we might start with Hawthorn, Jim. I use the phrase once those last week, but it's a form of tanking what they're going down the path of. And I'm not backing away from that. The decisions to offload some key players last year, Bill, in the trade period, particularly Mitchell, who they're paying to play, Gunston to the Brisbane Lions and O'Meara to the Dockers. Now, I get the argument, and I know, Jim, you study the list management space to a point. I mean, you have analysed it over the journey in other codes as well, but I just felt that they just cut too deep, too hard, and I'm not at all surprised to see last week resulting in a 10-goal loss to Essendon and 9 consecutive goals at the crunch time of that game, and then yesterday to be lucky to get away with an 81-point loss to the Sydney Swans in Sydney. I mean, that could have been 120 without it being too much of a stretch.
Well, I was really interested in the Chiefs' take on this because I mean, all BS aside, I have huge regard for the Chiefs' intellect around all of these things.
And
he was really supportive of it. He said, "Nah, do it straight away. Do it as hard as you can. You'll bounce back quicker if you take the
pain."
Was
that before the two games have been played?
I don't know. It wasn't long ago. And when I heard that, I thought you've got to hold up. You can't expose kids to getting belted.
We're saying this. What about the supporters, like the heavy hitters, and how's that all going?
Well, there's a few things going on off the field as well. And again, I've been reporting, Bill, that the other clubs are not happy with Hawthorn, particularly with the management around the racism issue. Now, no one begrudges the club investigating itself for racism. There was good intent in that, but the manner in which that happened, and then in the eyes of some clubs, that the dumping of the entire case to the AFL, which then made it a complete competition problem, and obviously specifically to the two main people out of it, being that now the coaches of North Melbourne and Brisbane respectively, and Alistair Clarkson and Fagan, and then you've now got significantly varying views behind the scenes, Bill, of the power brokers, and every club's got power brokers, but there was certainly a tense moment last week inside the club when some supporters just voiced, "Where are we at as a footy club?" And these are high-end supporters. Yes. And this is the backdrop of this. Mm. And now you don't have the luxury of, well, look what's happening on field. You can see the future because you can't see any positive future.
And they're
right
used to winning.
They're used to winning. And as Justin Reeves, the CEO himself, only 2 weeks ago on media said, "We are in the business of winning premierships." Mm. And it's a big statement to make when you're now 0-2 as they are, and in a world of hurt when it comes to to getting out of it.
So that's not surprising many, because especially when they did the cutting, everyone thought, "Wow, this is going to be a tough year for the Hawks." I didn't see the Western Bulldogs in the position they're in now.
I didn't either, and you let them off. I did anyway with what happened in round one, Jim, with the 50-point loss to Melbourne. Yep. And that can happen. I mean, Melbourne does that.
Yeah, good
they
side.
Did the, yep. to the same team in a grand final 2 years ago. So. But you do have to take notice, don't you, when you look at what happened against St Kilda with, as we discussed earlier, the makeshift forward line that it has got, and the fact that, like, even a Zane Cordy ended up being part of that makeshift forward line for St Kilda when he was a former Bulldog. So, I mean, it's just, again, I will wait till round six before I draw a line on them. But there's enough to be concerned about to this point.
Makeshift forward lines. What about Freo? Hmm. Having said that, they put Luke Jackson. They started with Sean Darcy, poor old Sean Darcy, in the forward line. He's not a forward, and I don't think, as Jim says,
are you worried about him, Bill? Given what's happened to the 2 weeks we've seen with
Jackson? Because Geelong will pick him up.
Sean Darcy as well, will they?
Yeah, they'll get Sean. Luke Jackson, I'm worried about. Yes, yes.
Well, but I'd never thought he was a forward. Purple. Yeah. He's not a key forward, not yet. Anyway,
well, he can't mark, and he's unfortunately just keeps dropping what goes near him.
He's an unbelievably good, Brody Grundy type ruckman following. He's almost a ruck rover, I think. And if he's allowed to do that, he's exceptionally good at it. But I've never seen him as a big power forward, or even someone that Bill understands forward craft.
Yeah, that's
where
right.
to be. And
where
it's
to
a difficult
lead
club
or run.
To play forward in too, because their forwards go so high up the ground.
Well, they don't
it's
have forwards, do they?
Well, it's not a conventional forward structure you're playing.
So he's not a forward. Sean Darcy's not a forward. Nat Fyfe's not a
Nat
forward.
Fyfe's
and they're all playing in the forward.
Well, Fyfe's got a plantar fasciitis issue, which could be multiple weeks now,
just
Bill.
Jump not off just the chair.
Like Robert Harvey.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they've got their concerns. The Derby now is a big game.
Huge
the
game.
Derby's a massive game. Massive game.
How's Dusty going?
Well, he was subbed out. And that's, to me, it was unusual to sub him out.
Exactly.
Now, I can understand post-match, you then want to play it down and say it was a management issue for a quick turnaround for a round three game. But Dusty doesn't get subbed out, Tim, does he? Not when he's put his hand up to play.
And you know what happened? When he got subbed out, Richmond kicked six goals. They went berserk because Adelaide were coming. Yeah. And they kicked six goals when he got subbed out. But he's gone for scans.
Hmm.
Hammy or something?
Didn't catch up with what it was, but yeah, soft tissue, I believe.
Just keep an eye on a little dust.
Geelong, I was, we touched on that a moment ago. I wasn't as worried as maybe some, Bill, but there were just some signs in that game on the most recent one against Carlton that is of concern for.
And I'm sure they're all over it down there. Just got to get the ball in the midfield. That's be a start.
Mm.
Thank God Jeremy Cameron's still hadn't had the baby. Can you believe that, Chezza?
He was going to play only a half of
two
the first game, wasn't he?
Yeah. So we wait on that.
Touched on Gold Coast before in terms of it being a team that just never, ever surprises me with an upset win. And I feel and fear that the Crows are in that same bracket. They've been okay in both games and gave themselves a chance against Richmond. The comeback was really, really impressive. But equally deflatingly was then allowing the Tigers to then go away again for the second time within the game.
And showdown this week.
Yeah.
Some good games again.
It's going to be massive, isn't it, when it comes to the outcomes of those games. You've also got another grudgy type of matchup too, as well as the Clarko-North Melbourne situation against Hawthorn.
Yes.
Dunkley playing the Bulldogs, because
Bulldogs.
There is no love between that club
no
and
love.
That former club and that former player. So, yeah, there's a bit going on
in
that space.
So, buses?
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, hello. I thought they were a month away.
They were. Well, interesting where it goes.
Given what I did here only about an hour ago about what happened at Hawthorn last week, we're going to put one there. And it's been there regularly, Jim, out at Waverley, and as they try and move into a Dingley life, but we'll leave it at Waverley. And we have to get out to the Witten Oval too at this early stage of the season.
Are you driving that bus?
No, I won't be. I'll make sure
take
it's
your life into your own hands, Purple.
Oh, well, I think we went there at one stage last year too, didn't we, Jim? I think they got themselves. We took the bus away late in the year, but it'll be there early after round two.
You're driving it, I reckon. Out there, over the West Gate.
No, I might get another driver to get it. I'll drive the one to Hawthorn.
Good to see you, mate. Thanks for coming in.
See you, boys.
That was Damo's recovery session. Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy. Thanks to our mates at BlueBet. Get around BlueBet this footy season and download the app today. Gamble responsibly.